Om Nam Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All together, please. Om Jnana Timarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yukta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Bitam Tham Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Prijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Govika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapcha Kanchana Gorange Radhe Brinda Vinishwari Vrishabhana Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Bhavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary, His Divine Grace, Sri Lesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Text number 73. Please repeat. Te Vayam Nodita Sarve Praja Sarge Prajeshvara Anena Dvasta Tamasa Sishikshamo Vibhida Prajaha Tevayam Nodita Prasarve Prajasarge Praveshvara Anena Dvasta Tamasaha Sishikshamo Vivida Praja Devayam Nodita Sarve Praja Sarge Prajeshvara Anena Dvasta Tamasaha Shikshamo Vivida Praja Devayam Nodita Sarve Praja Sarge Prajeshvara Anena Dvasta Tamasaha Shikshamo Vivida Praja. Translation Srila Prabhupada. When all the Prajapatis were ordered to create by Lord Brahma, we chanted these prayers in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and became completely free from ignorance. Thus, we were able to create different types of living entities. Please repeat. When all the Prajapatis were ordered to create by Lord Brahma, we chanted these prayers in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and became completely free of ignorance. Thus we were able to create different types of living entities. Purport Srila Prabhupada. In this verse we can understand that the various types of living entities were created simultaneously at the very beginning of the creation. The nonsensical Darwinian theory of evolution is not applicable here. It is not that intelligent human beings did not exist millions of years ago. On the contrary, it is understood that the most intelligent creature, Lord Brahma, was first created. Then Lord Brahma created other saintly sages like Marichi, Bhrigu, Atreya, Vasishtha and Lord Shiva. They in their turn created different types of bodies according to karma. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapil Dev told his mother that the living entity gets a particular type of body in accordance with his work. And this body is decided upon by higher authorities. The higher authorities, as appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are Lord Brahma and all other Prajapatis and Manus. Thus, from the beginning of creation, it can be seen that the first creature is the most intelligent. It is not that so-called modern intelligence has developed by the gradual process of evolution. It is stated in the Brahma Vaivarta Puran, there is a gradual evolutionary process, but it is not the body that is evolving. All the bodily forms are already there. It is the spiritual entity or spiritual spark within the body that is being promoted by the laws of nature under the supervision of superior authorities. We can understand from this verse that from the very beginning of creation, different varieties of living entities were existing. It is not that some of them have become extinct. Everything is there. It is due to our lack of knowledge that we cannot see things in their proper perspective. In this verse, the word dvasta tamasa is very important. For without being free from ignorance, one cannot control the creation of different types of living entities. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.31.1, Deva Netrena. Bodies are awarded under the supervision of superior powers. How can these superior powers control the evolutionary process of the living entity if they are not free from all imperfection? The followers of the Vedic instructions cannot accept the Darwinian theory of evolution, for it is marred by imperfect knowledge. Mukham karochi vachalam bhangam laite girim yad kripa tamaham bande shri guru dinatarinam te vayam nodita sarve praja sarve prajeshvara anena dvasta tamasah shishikshamo vivida prajah. When all the Prajapatis were ordered to create by Lord Brahma, we chanted these prayers in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and became completely free from all ignorance. Thus, we were able to create different types of living entities. Yes. So this is Lord Shiva, he's explaining that this stotra, this song sung by him, given to the Prachetas, was previously given by Lord Brahma to the Prajapatis. The Prajapatis are the sons of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, as Prabhupada says there in the purport, he is the first intelligent being of the universe, most intelligent. So He is the secondary creator of the material universe. There are unlimited material universes floating within the Pradhan, and each has a Lord Brahma within. And Lord Brahma, he arranges. He is like a carpenter that is given wood and nails and glue, and then he makes a table or a bookcase. He arranges the material energy. It is explained that when he awoke on the lotus flower that sprouted from Garbhadakshay Vishnu, he went down within the stem of that lotus flower and he found in seed form all the planetary systems. But he was not capable at that time, he didn't have the potency or the understanding to arrange the material universe in a working manner. So he heard the word tapa, he performed austerity, meditating on what is my source, what is my origin. For 1,000 celestial years, at the end of which he was enlightened by the grace of Krishna after his tapasya, and then he spoke what we know as the Brahma Samhita. We have one chapter, the fifth chapter, and this is fully explaining the transcendental realm in Golok and explaining the arrangement that Lord Brahma will create within the material universe as secondary creator on behalf of the Supreme Lord. So this is the Vedic religion, that from the Absolute Supreme Lord everything has descended. From Krishna, Vishnu and the Purusha avatars, and then from Srimati Radharani the Shakti expansions, and then there is the Narayan expanded from the Purushas. Then they expand down into the material universes. Lord Brahma, a great devotee, is empowered. He rearranges the creation, taking all the planetary systems from the stem of the lotus flower upon which he appears. But then once the universe is created in this way, of course, you don't create a city. You want to put living entities within it. Just like a government, it may create a new city. But it wants to fill it up with living entities, with citizens. This is an atheistic idea that maybe there's only life upon earth, and this is one of the ideas of the Darwinians at this time, but it is based on atheism. If God has created the universe like a government has created a city, does the government say only people should live in one house of this city? I have created a universe and only upon earth there should be living entities. Only a fool will propose that, or an atheist that has a different view than a supremely intelligent creator and his subordinate creators are arranging the spiritual and material creation on his behalf, empowered. And through their tapasya, becoming free of all imperfection, and empowered to do their work precisely and wonderfully under the direction of the Supreme Lord. But the atheist, they rebel against this idea. No, there is no Supreme Lord. There is just chance variation. There is no Supreme Designer who has created all this. There is no supremely intelligent being who has created all the different categories. There is no Lord Brahma who expands as the Prajapatis and empowers them to create the different categories of bodies, the different houses for residence within the city of the universe, there is not that. No, there is just chance. It all happened by chance. Huh? So of course this very foolish idea, as Prabhupada says, is nonsensical. Even actually Sataputta Maharaj, Sataputta Das, he was a big mathematician, our god brother, great devotee. He wrote one book about information theory. He explained that in an enclosed system, the less complex cannot create the more complex without design, without the input. And that is their theory. Instead of the supremely complex and supremely intelligent creating all the other living entities, that there was a big bang and it all started to bubble after some time, and all of a sudden little cells appeared and they became big cells, and then some jumped in the ocean and started swimming, and then started, some stayed on the land and started walking about, and then some sprouted wings and decided to fly about, and then some built universities and gave each other Nobel Prizes, having figured it all out on behalf of mankind. Of course, they are always figuring it out. We don't really know what their evolutionary theory is today, because it changes every weekend as they sit on their leather armchairs and smoke a pipe and drink brandy and think, what do you think? Can something come from nothing? Can a big bang come from nothing? There was nothing and it exploded. Well, if it was nothing, it meant it was not there, so how could it explode? Right? This is Vaisheshika. This is all based on Vaisheshika philosophy. There are six darshans of the Vedic knowledge. Huh? The second is Vaisheshika. I think Kannada is the sage. And he says, atoms and void. And then we have Charvaka Muni that said, yes, there's no God, you just enjoy, because there's just atoms and void, and we all die anyway, so beg, borrow, steal, ghee, and just enjoy. That is their idea. So if there's atoms and void, actually it means there's only atoms, because the void is not there, right? Nothing means nothing, it means not existing. So how can something that doesn't exist ever explode? Because it's not there to explode in the first place. So these fools, they turn nothing into something. And of course they have progressed now. They say that actually there was not nothing, there was a singularity. And in this singularity, all the matter and energy that we see in the universe, that was compressed into a single point that had no dimension, and this exploded. So all the matter in the universe that we see was having no dimension. So if things don't have no dimension, Jai Hare Krishna, Sri Sri Gonitai Guru Parampara, Krishna Balaram, Gomata, Shalagram Maharaj, Guru Parampara, Radha Krishna, Lalit Vishaka, Giriraj Maharaja Ki, Jai. So if something has no dimension, it means it has no existence. So this is just word jugglery. And then it exploded. Now why should it explode? Out of boredom? No. Because only living entities become bored. Why did it explode? not because somebody exploded it or it thought I should explode, because that means living entity, conscious principle, choice, exertion of desire. No, it just exploded. And then matter and energy was created. And then a few million billion years later, Charles Darwin was born. The whole explosion created Charles Darwin. And he got on a boat in 1831 called the Beagle. And he went across to north of South America on the East Coast. And he went down there and he went around the Tierra del Fuego. And then he went up to Ecuador, and about 900 kilometers, 600 miles west of Ecuador, he settled down in the archipelago of the Galapagos Islands, and he started looking at the finches, and he started looking at the turtles, and he started looking at the birds, and he put together the idea that all these different bodies that came after the Big Bang happened not by intelligent design, because that means person, that means there's a supreme person, but rather by the pressure of natural selection. Small variations in living entities give a functional advantage, and this functional advantage helps that living entity to survive and procreate. And then as he procreates, these functional advantages become fixed, and these natural selection means those that don't develop the functional advantages, they die off. And those that do, they remain. So therefore, all the living entities, by gradual, slow steps, he said, develop. And the evolutionists, they accepted this idea for a long time, that there was slow steps. They changed their ideas later, punctuated evolution, that suddenly there's big changes over a short, relatively short period of time. But the idea is that there is no intelligent design. It is all happening by the pressure of the environment. So, this idea took hold. At that time, in the Renaissance, which was about the time of Lord Chaitanya in Europe, there was also a flowering of intellectualism. Leonardo da Vinci, Galileo, and they wanted a more scientific approach to the universe. The Catholic Church was ruling the roost, and if you didn't agree with them, they were appointing the kings and queens, and if you didn't agree with them, you were burnt at the stake. The printing press had just been invented. The Catholic Church didn't like the idea. Better to keep the masses in ignorance and suspicious and under threat, and they'll be easily, more easily controlled. But you can't suppress the human desire to inquire. Man is the rational animal. He wants to analyze. This is a form of intelligence or knowledge gathering. Vedas or Jiva Goswami, he has broken all the forms of knowledge gathering down into three. One is Shabda. That means to hear the transcendental vibration, particularly the Vedic knowledge. and the words, the commentary of the sadhu, situated in transcendence, this is the supreme process of receiving enlightenment. Because when the transcendental sound is received, it awakens the soul. And then the soul realizes the truth of reality. He becomes free, as it says in this verse, from tamasa. And then there is sense perception. That means you can gather knowledge by using your material senses. You can get the temperature of things, the dimension, the sight. And then anukula, you can interpret that knowledge using intelligence. So we say, yes, the supreme process of achieving knowledge is to hear from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. We become enlightened in that way. But also, it is a fact that you gain knowledge and understanding through sense perception and by using the intelligence of the mind, the logical facility, reasoning. But of course that is a limited function because the senses are limited, they make mistakes, the interpretation of the mind can be fallacious. So therefore, as Prabhupada finishes in the purport, imperfect knowledge will arise from sense perception and logical interpretation if it is not harmonized with the descriptions received from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So we cannot deny this ability, you cannot suppress this desire of the human being to examine and come to logical conclusions about the creation. But in Europe, under the Catholic Church and the Inquisition, all the intellectuals, all the bright sparks of society were having to say, yes, 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 that's right, there's the God and there's the devil, and if you accept the Catholic Church, you're going to heaven, and if you don't, you're going to hell forever and ever. But God loves you, even though He sends you to hell forever and ever, and there's only one life, and you get it long, and you go to hell forever. Yes, I accept that. But they were feeling very suppressed. So Galileo, he made some observations and he was put under house arrest by the grace of the Pope. They didn't nail him to a stake and burn him in the morning in the marketplace. That was very kind of them. So the intelligence, the flowering of the Renaissance means the renewal, the desire to use the mind and intelligence to analyze the creation was very much cornered, and this class of persons, once Darwin a few hundred years later put together his theory of evolution, felt great relief. Oh, here is something, a means by which we can fight this suppression by the Inquisition. The present Pope was actually in charge of the Inquisition. The Inquisition's only ended in 1970s. They changed the name of it. And the present Pope now, he was the last in charge. So when Darwin came forward with his idea, there was great debates, and the Christian or Catholic model was roundly defeated because they had the idea that everything was created about 5,000 years ago on a Tuesday, I think it was. By looking at the Bible, they worked out a time of creation. 5,000 on a Tuesday, 5,000 years ago. So, and when they were asked, what about the fossils? I mean, the fossils are there in the stone, and the stone is about 1 million years old by scientific analysis and so on. So they said, well, the devil put that there to fool us. So they were defeated. And then this flowering of atheistic science took place, and religion was sidelined. There was a separation then at this point, that the religion and science should be separated, and the scientists should go on with their sense perception and analysis, and religion should be separated. Therefore, there should not be the theistic understanding. So, of creation. So this went along merrily for a few hundred years, until Srila Prabhupada came along. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! And by presenting the Vedic knowledge, he has integrated the scientific understanding with the theistic understanding again. This is one of Prabhupada's great contributions. If you look, actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda, at the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda, Vaishnavism had become the playground of Sahajiya, and they were all performing Leela Smaranam, the chanting of the holy name had become degraded, and they were all using their position as Vaishnavs to become beggars. The Chaitanya Charitamrita was largely forgotten. Bhaktivinoda had to search for a copy. And he re-established the pure understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching and dismissed the Sahajiya interpretations. He wrote one book, the 13 Apasampradayas, the Ativadis, the Shakibedis, the Sad Goswamis, the Sad... Goswamis by birth and so on. He defeated that. And then his son came along and he defeated the conception that religion could only be practiced and understood and taught by the caste Goswamis and the caste Brahmanas. He explained that Mahaprabhu's method is open for everyone. Krishna Tattva Vedi, Sei Guru Hoy. Kiba Vipra, Kiba Nasi. It doesn't really matter what your birth is. If you have Krishna Tattva, then you are Guru and you can teach. So that was the mission of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, largely in part. And there was attempts to kill Srila Bhakti Siddhanta by caste Goswamis and caste Brahmanas. They didn't like their income to be threatened. In Kali Yuga, Vraha Puran says, Rakshasim Ashritya, that Rakshasas Brahma Yonishu, they will take birth in the wombs of Brahmanas to destroy Vedic culture. That is there in the Shastra, Vraha Puran. So that became very evident once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta started to expand the pure understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings under the guidance of his family father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he was a great scholar, Shrutidhar. He could quote from pages and everything he had ever read. But he took Diksha, very interestingly, from Gokishore Das Babaji, who was practically illiterate. So illustrating, yes, that it is not a matter of learning, ultimately, Vaishnavism. Vaishnavism is the development of devotion, not intellect. So then, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's great disciple, our beloved Srila Prabhupada, what was a large part of his presentation was to go all over the world and present the Vedic knowledge, defeating the scientific, atheistic science, which is based on Darwinianism. This conception that there is no supreme designer, but it is just the pressure of environment. And a very important book is Life Comes from Life. Because there's actually two points. And the first one is that how does consciousness arise in the first place? We're all familiar with the Darwinian idea that living entities develop in certain directions. And he drew a tree. And he said at the bottom, there was the chemicals, and they created cells, and these became conscious. And then, once consciousness has created, then the living entities grew into different branches. And he had some very novel ideas. How were whales created? This is a very interesting idea. Well, there was a hyena type animal that is now extinct, they say, and he started jumping back in the ocean, and eventually he became a whale. So they have this. If you go to Natural History Museum in London, they have the big theater of atheism there, foolishness, and they have all these charts. And of course they're all without proof within the fossil record or without any logical conclusion. But in this way the idea is that from single cells became double cells, become quadruple cells, and then they became animals, some started flying. So this is rather like saying that a pocket calculator can create a supercomputer. It is far more logical to say that there is a supercomputer with vast quantity of intricate programming and great potency, and that is creating smaller computers, and those smaller computers are creating desktops, and these desktops are then devolving into laptops. And laptops are devolving into tablets, and tablets are devolving into pocket calculators, because a calculator is a kind of computer, is it not? So that is more satisfying to the mind than saying, well, all of a sudden there was pocket calculators, and then they created a tablet, and then they got together and made a laptop. And then all the laptops get together and they made a supercomputer. Huh? That is actually the theory of evolution. That from the less complex, the highly complex, without any intelligent input, just by chance variation has arisen. But the Vedic religion counters that, and Srila Prabhupada exposed the fallacy of these arguments in Life Comes from Life, and he chastised at every opportunity this scientific atheism. Nothing wrong with science, but to use science to support atheism deliberately and calculatedly, that is a great foolishness. Because science means that you should be unbiased. You should use your information and come to conclusions according to the evidence. You should not gather evidence and filter out what is inconvenient to the point you are trying to prove. This is what Dhrutakarma called a knowledge filter. Huh? Actually, in the fossil record, as Prabhupada says in the purport, Drutakarma, in his Hidden History of the Human Race, very good book, and he travels all over the world now, Drutakarma explains and presents cast iron evidence of living entities and human type entities in rock formations of millions and billions of years. But these have all been discarded, they've all been filtered out. Because according to the current model, and unless you present this model, you don't get tenure in a university, you don't get a job. According to the current model, humans only appeared in a social form about 35,000 years ago. So anything that proves otherwise has to be discarded. But that is not science. That is fanaticism. Science means an unbiased appraisal of the information gathered through the scientific experimental process. If you are filtering out, then you are a propagandist. You are trying to teach your idea against the information. And then you become, in the same way, like the Inquisition. You're trying to impose all your nonsense and suppress the population. Darwin's family actually is a very interesting family. This idea of natural selection that had been bouncing around in the scientific community for some time. Darwin's family was super rich. They were in charge of Wedgwood pottery. You know the plates, now you all have metal plates and leaf plates, plastic plates. But in that time in England, everyone had to have glazed plates. So Darwin's family made the best and lower qualities Wedgwood in the pottery, Stoke. And they were super rich. And he had one uncle called Galton. He also was an evolutionist, the idea was bouncing around. And then he also had a cousin called Malthus. Malthus wrote books saying that the best way to reduce the population was to starve people to death. It was the cheapest and most efficient way. And Galton adopted the Prussian model and created what we now call the educational system in this modern society. And his idea was, and this came in Darwin's second book, The Descent of Man, that not all human beings were evolving, but only the upper classes, the moneyed class, the aristocratic class. And in The Descent of Man, I think it was 57 or 59 categories of races he proposed. And he said that the British were the highest. And the second highest were the Nordic types, the Swedes with the blonde hair and the blue eyes. Hitler picked up this idea. And they should not interbreed with the lower races. He particularly didn't like the Spanish. And the Irish actually were pretty much at the bottom of the pile. Anyway, that's in The Descent of Man. He was a big racist, actually. So, this is another aspect of atheistic evolutionary conception is that Prabhupada deals with in the purport. They are thinking that you've got to breed a master race. Hitler put this idea together by his perverted understanding of Aryan. And also in America, prior to Hitler, in different states, they started compulsory sterilization of human beings. If you weren't doing well in school, if you had maybe a member of your family that was not very bright or a little, then they would compulsorily sterilize the women. This was going on in America prior to Hitler. And of course Hitler really got it together, and he decided that all the flotsam of these lower races, the gypsies, the Jews, and anyone he didn't particularly like, the Germanic race, the Aryan race, should get together with the SS and breed with the broad, the Fräuleins, and produce the Aryan blonde-haired, blue-eyed, athletic personality. So, once atheism, once science becomes atheistic and disconnected from the broader perspective of the Vedic knowledge, then terrible things can arise. And then this was also took along by Marx and Engels. Marx and Engels, also Engels, Russian people will know that under Stalin and all that, they had these purges. They were given quotas to kill off hundreds of thousands and millions of people. Stalin, he killed about 17 million Ukrainians by taking all the food in the winter of 31-32. So on the basis of this idea, terrible things have been gone on. And Galton said that we should create this educational system. Prabhupada also exposed it. He explained it, it's a slaughterhouse education. But they created this idea that in the elite boarding schools, the aristocratic, moneyed, evolved class, they should be taught self-reliance and initiative. But in the common schools, the people should be regimented and kept and trained to be subordinate and obedient to their masters. Therefore, in the modern schools, there's all these classes, and you have to go step by step, and you have to pass exams, and if you go outside, and education is not to flower the intellect, but to learn things and repeat it and be obedient. So this conception of education, this came from Darwin's uncle Galton, and it was pushed from higher levels, and it spread all over Europe and now all over the world. But this is not the Vedic conception of education. The Vedic conception is that the consciousness should be flowered. Bhaktivinoda in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he gives a very brilliant analysis. He says in the plant and insect species, this is covered consciousness. And then when you go to the animal species, you have restricted consciousness. And then when you attain human beings, you have budding consciousness. And sadhana bhakti for the human being is blossoming consciousness. And Krishna Prem is fully blossomed consciousness. So this is the real understanding, that yes, different bodies suppress the consciousness, there's no doubt. And according to karma, sinful activity, one will be born in those. However, by nature's way, one will take birth in higher levels of bodies until he burns off his karma and attains human form. But in human form, it is like the bud of a rose. If the bud of a rose is given good sunlight and water, then it can blossom. So human education should be based upon awakening the spiritual nature. And Lord Chaitanya has given that formula. Shravanam, Ketanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. This prayer is Vandanam. In the verse here it says, by chanting this prayer, we, the Prajapatis, who created all these bodies for the living entities, became free of tamasa, ignorance. We lost all imperfection, and we became able to designate and govern and supervise the evolution of the spirit soul. So once the living entity attains human form, as Bhagavatam says, Kirata Pulinda Pukasha, it doesn't matter if you're born in the family of a dog eater, the lowest human activities possible, a thief and a criminal, it's in the Gita. Even if one is the most sinful of sinners, if he takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, his consciousness can be blossomed and purified. So that is real human education. Human education now has become a means of suppressance and giving ignorance. You are the body. Work like an ass. Pay your taxes and stay in line, or we'll throw you in the jail. But that is not human life. A few financially intoxicated elite people thinking that the rest of humanity are animals on their farm. And that is the Kali Yuga, Rakshas-governed society that is malignantly controlling the world and educational system nowadays. So Srila Prabhupada is attacking that through Vedic knowledge. Vedic knowledge says, no, everything isn't bubbling chemicals. Everything has proceeded from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimited in potency and variety. He is the source of all rasa. He has expanded himself as the living entity. This living entity can be found in bound condition, but he can also be liberated by sadhana. That the creation is simultaneously one and different from the Supreme Lord. And this is realized by bhakti. Bhakti has four stages. Vaidhi, follow rules and regulations in a constant manner. This will wake up your attraction to the Absolute Truth. Then you'll develop attachment, and then you'll develop prem. And when you have prem, you'll realize your relationship and the actual creation, the nature of the creation. This is the Vedic knowledge. And this is what is propounded in Srila Prabhupada's books. And those that are intelligent and fortunate, they will take this knowledge for themselves. And Lord Chaitanya has said, Amara Agyaya Guru, on my order become Guru. Know this Krishna Tattva, and whomever you meet, you give this knowledge. So ISKCON, Prabhupada Society, is an educational society. We are meant to learn the Vedic knowledge and give this knowledge to humanity at large. Defeat miseducation. This is Prabhupada's mission. We are not the enemies of anyone. We are trying to help everyone, because Vedic knowledge is not the devil and God fighting. The Vedic knowledge is that everyone is the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. But some are in tamasa, and without knowledge, they are full of misconceptions. And if that is too intellectual to understand, then they should just hear Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And also, if you really want to crack the material ignorance, just tell people, like Krishna told Arjuna, you are not the body. This knowledge is defeating everything. This is the missing point. When people think they're the body, as Darwinianism says, they will think that my life is to satisfy the body. But when they understand, no, I am not, I am a soul, eternal, within the body, then their whole orientation of life will change. So if we give people the chance to chant Hare Krishna, and we tell them, you're not the body, then one by one, the whole world can be converted to Krishna consciousness. Huh? And what are our weapons? Kartel and Madanga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. The Russian devotees will tell you that they defeated Gorbachev, Brezhnev, by chanting. So, Srila Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sadhu Sangha. Any quick question? Sorry for going too long. Yes. Is there any difference between what?
Thank you for class. Is there any difference between the manus and prajapatis in function? Between manus.
Kya bol rahe? Kya bol rahe? Hindi mein bol rahe. Ah, that's clear. That. Is there any difference between what? Manus and Prajapatis. Well, they are authorities. In that way, they are similar. But Manus, they are the governors. They give the Dharma Shastra, the laws of humanity, particularly in relationship to the material activities. So the Manus are responsible for Dharma Shastras. But Prajapati particularly means Praja, the creator of progeny. So the Manus are also Prajapatis, but a different type of Prajapati in that way. Prajapati is a generic title, creator of progeny. Lord Brahma is the ultimate Prajapati of the material world. So there are different types of Prajapatis. Even a man married, having children, he's a Prajapati. You can see in the street many Prajapatis. But then generally this title is given for the big ones, because the different Prajapatis, they create different types of living entities particularly. It's all in the third canto and throughout Bhagavatam, different references. Clear?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
It's really very good speech given by your good self. I really appreciate your thoughts about the universe.
Thank you.
You have given nice idea.
thank you. They're Hare coming Krishna. From Guru Parampara, grace of Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna. Thank you. Oh, that's very kind. Very encouraging. It's a complex subject, but it's important to understand the fault. First of all, that matter creates consciousness, and that consciousness, conscious living entities, by chance variation, create all this great variety. It is not satisfying. And it will be defeated, and it is already defeated. Science is under attack. You know that. The scientists, people, they're not going to school, they're not believing, and the scientists are creating glossy books, but no one is believing anymore. Yes, they're creating atheism and fascism and all these things on the basis of bodily consciousness. So we have to tell people their spirit soul. And then the whole of human society can blossom. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Thank you all very much.